Those of you over on the right-hand side here, can you see the screen now, Sam? Nothing's in the way here, is it? Look like it. Well, I think it's time for us to start. Everybody's got syllabus and sheet of notes. Well, good to meet you. My name's Andy Aspas. We will be learning an awful lot about some awful interesting chemistry this semester. So this is first semester principles of chemistry, the first of a two-semester sequence. So what do we all need to talk about? We need to do lots of stuff. So I'm Andy Aspas. My email is andrew.aspas@unocurrency.edu. So my name is actually Andrew, but please don't have any reservations about calling me Andy. That's what I normally go by. But keep in mind that Andrew is what's at the start of the email address. You should pick up the notes and the syllabus right up there. Couple of things. I'll show you a couple of interesting things here before we get into the syllabus. So first off, the course webpage, that link right there, it is also in your syllabus. You can navigate to it by finding the chemistry department. Here's my little son. It's a couple months older than him. He's 8 months now. His name is Will. He's a very happy, cheerful little guy. There's Will, there's my wife Lindsay. She works at the National Marrow Donor Program. So that's the national organization that coordinates bone marrow transplants for cancer patients. So she actually works in the medical education office. So she puts materials together educating doctors really all around the world about the transplant process. So that's her. We can look at my schedule while we're here. The Science and Engineering Division Coordinator this year. So that means I have duties at both this campus and the other campus, that other place down south. Right? So my office hours here are on Monday and Wednesday. So for the sake of you guys, for the most part, you can come visit me before class on Monday and before noon on Wednesday. There are meetings over the noon hour some Wednesdays, but if not, I'm usually around in my office too, so you can drop by whenever you like. My office is E224, which is right attached to the lab, so we're going to go to lab this afternoon. My office is just right next door to the lab there. Let's go to our webpage. Oh, and by the way, if you ever get a chance, I've got a whole bunch of links. Got some neat demonstration videos. Take a look at some of those. Some of them are lots of fun. Also some good reference. Chemistry Help. There's a lot of different websites that have practice problems and study guides and drills and tutors and things like that. So take advantage of that sort of stuff. All right. So here's our class webpage. I'll put whenever anything is due, any kind of quizzes, exams, any kind of important dates coming up. So check on that regularly. Here's a link to the lab experiments page. This is shared by the entire school, both campuses. So this is where all of our lab experiments are. Every week you'll need to have the experiment read and printed out before you come to lab. Okay. So if you don't have this week's experiment printed out yet, don't worry about that. We'll print it out in lab. But for future weeks, visit there. Here's the syllabus, which we'll get to in a second. But in case you lose your copy, you can always get it right there. Let's talk about blank lecture notes. The white pages that I handed you are the blank lecture notes for chapter one. I'm providing for you the first one, the first chapter. After chapter one, it'll be up to you to print them out and bring them to class. And I strongly recommend that you do that. I have a lot of information on those things that you're better off just seeing on the page and then working the problems in the blanks on there. It will, you know, if you're trying to do this on a blank piece of paper, by the time you get done writing down the problem that we're working on, other people will have finished it. So that's especially handy for that. If you find that the space is a little cramped on this one, I gave you guys the two per page one. If you find that's a little small, I also have an option for just doing one per page. If you have larger handwriting, you can feel free to print those out. Okay, so. I'll usually have those up well in advance of when the material is covered in class. So I'm going to get the chapter two one out right away this week. So, you know, the morning of or the day before or something, look on there and see if you need to print something else out. Down here for lecture notes, this is a tablet PC, so I write on this and you see what I'm writing up on the board. But I also save the files and have them on here, so you can go and print them out with all of my writing, so you can see all my work on there, so you can get a good copy of stuff that you know is right. Also, I do audio and video, so I record the audio of everything we do here, and the video is recording what's on the screen there, so you can play it back and watch as I'm writing the stuff in there and listen as it goes along. So that's a very helpful resource. Students have found that to be very helpful in the past when you're reviewing or if there is a certain concept you need a little more, you need to hear again, maybe something you missed in class, right, go back to it. It'll all be organized by little sections for what we're covering. So go into those and you can watch it over and over as many times as you want. I know students that have taken the audio files and put them on an iPod and listened to them in the car and stuff like that. A little strange that people are listening to my voice while they're driving, but you know, whatever works for you, I guess. So. Some people listen to it before they go to bed, which is even a little weirder. So, any kind of handouts I give you, I will also post up on here. We'll talk about lab reports in a bit, but there's a link to a periodic table. You can print as many times as you want. The conversion sheet on here. We'll talk about this as we get to it, but. That has a list of conversion factors that'll be the same as what you will get on an exam. So when you're doing your problems, practice it with those sort of things. I've got a syllabus and I've got notes up here that you can grab. I have a couple of practice worksheets. I'll probably make a couple more of these as the semester goes on. But these are things that students told me they wanted extra practice on. So I made practice sheets up along with detailed answer keys. Practice exams. So here's some exams that I've given way back in 04, as well as links to exams from the University of Minnesota, where there's I have one from each of two instructors. So our exams in here will be mostly multiple choice. So if you haven't done a lot of multiple choice testing in the past, you're going to want to print out, especially these U of M ones, because these are totally multiple choice. So. But there's a certain skill set involved in being able to properly handle a multiple choice exam. So we'll talk about that a little more as the first exam nears, but use those as practice. So that's, I think, what I wanted to show you for the web page. So blank notes, completed notes, audio, video, handouts, and worksheets. We'll also be making use of D2L. I won't open this up for you right now. I'll assume that most of you have used D2L. If you have not used D2L, the college has training sessions throughout this weekend. I think next week you can go to the college webpage, the IT section on the webpage, to sign yourself up for that. So I do require participation in the discussion boards on D2L. So for credit, you need at least one host per chapter. So I have it broken down by chapter. So there's a discussion for each of the chapters. If something's confusing to you in one of the assignments, you can ask about it in there. If you can help one of your classmates out in there, you know, by all means. If you have a comment or something about the material or something. I guess my only regulation for that is that for it to be counted for credit, it must have some thought to it. It can't just be a good job or me too kind of thing. It has to show some chemical intuition, I guess. But it can be either a question or a response. Okay. So one post per chapter in the actual chapter discussions. If you like, you can. There is a introduce yourself forum in there that's separate from the chapter discussions. I'd like it if you went in there and introduced yourself, but that's not out of the one post per chapter. Okay, so what else? I saw that most of you have signed up for MetNet email, but if you have not, go to the link on my webpage and sign up for it. That'll be the email address I will use to communicate with you guys. Yes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'll usually let your classmates, the way it'll work out, towards the start of the semester, I'll be in there really pretty aggressively answering questions. But once everybody gets used to the tone and the feel of it, it sort of becomes self-sustaining. So I find I have to, towards the middle and end of the semester, I usually only have to be in there to correct things that are blatantly wrong, or if a discussion runs into a dead end or something. So, so sign up for MetNet. That's your college-supplied email address. You're supposed to sign up for that anyway to get reminders of tuition due dates and official stuff from the college anyway. So you can have that forwarded to a different email address if you like, but you just have to have access to things that I send to that address. Okay? Mastering Chemistry is the online homework system that we'll be using in here. Let me go to Mastering Chemistry and I'll show you a little bit of it here. If you got the bundle in the bookstore, the Mastering Chemistry Access was included with that. If you got the textbook separately, you can go and purchase Mastering Chemistry Access. If you took a chemistry course here within the last year or so, for instance, if you already use Mastering Chemistry in 1020 or something like that, your access is still good. So it's good for 2 years or so. Okay. So some of you have probably used it in 1020 before, but if not, use the access code you get at the bookstore, or you can go on here and go through new students and purchase your code. So if you've not been on Mastering Chemistry before, you'll make your own account, you'll sign up, and you'll join our class. Let's actually go to the second to the last page of the syllabus. And I'll show you how you can get into there. So go to a page in the syllabus that says, it has keeping track of your progress in the course at the top, but then logging into Mastering Chemistry is below it there. So choose your own username and password. You can cross out this part here that says the access code will be emailed to your MetNet, because you got the access code from the bookstore, okay? Or if you don't have an access code, that's what you purchase on the webpage. Okay? So cross that out. I'm not emailing any access codes. That's true. Okay. So once you've entered the access code that shows you paid for it, you can log in, and then you need to join our course once you're in Mastering Chemistry. So just do join course and type in this course ID right there, ASPAS 86554, and that'll get you into our course. Two things you have to do. You have to show that you paid, and then you have to join our course. So if you have the deal from the bookstore, that's the code you enter to show you paid. If you don't want that, you can purchase access in the site itself. Okay. So let me actually log in and I'll just show you around a little bit. Sure. So you're usually greeted by some sort of page like this after you've joined our course. You can go to assignments right there that will list any current assignments. If you are new to mastering chemistry, I strongly recommend you do this introduction to mastering chemistry. So for instance, if I click on this, okay, this is the kind of thing you'll see. These are the parts to the assignment itself. This one is for practice only, so it's not for any credit, but this tells you how to draw molecules in here and how to enter things in scientific notation and stuff like that. So it's important stuff that you ought to do. But for instance, let me just go to this one right here, chemical answers. The question will come up. It usually has some background information for you in one frame and then a question for you to answer. So it gives you a little bit of background so you can read up on it. But if I'm entering C4H10 in here, I'll do C, and then where it says up here, there are some keyboard shortcuts. So I would get used to using these keyboard shortcuts. You can pick the templates out from the little button there, but if I want subscript, you type an underscore. So let's do an underscore. Oops. There we go. And that makes a smaller little box there, C4. Okay. Then I'm going to arrow out of that, and then H underscore 10, like that. Okay. And when you have an answer you think you like, you'll hit submit. Let me just make this wrong so you see what that looks like. So I did C4H9, and hit submit. Try again, 5 attempts remaining. Typically, we'll have 6 attempts per blank, right? Keep trying, keep entering your responses there. In several of the questions, there will be a little tab right here that says hints. Okay? So if you're having trouble, if you're not quite sure what to do, you click that hints, and that thing will guide you through a different set of questions that sort of guides you to where it is that you need to do. Okay? So there is no penalty for using hints. So make sure you use whatever hints are necessary for you to figure it out. You do get a little bonus if you don't use any hints, though. Okay? So don't use hints if you already know how to do it, and just plug the answer in, you'll get a little extra bonus for that. But if you don't know what it is, it's definitely worth your while to go through as many of those hints as you need to in order to get it. So that's a nice thing about mastering chemistry here. It's not just a right-wrong sort of thing. Pretty much every assignment that we do, you'll have those hints available to help sort of guide you through the problem. So you make your way through there. It actually saves them as you go, so you can close it and open it however many times you want, and there's no time limit, and you can do some now and some, you know, another time. So it's very flexible that way. When you do go to submit item after you've finished it, it asks you a little survey question about that. It asks you how difficult it was. It asks you if you think there was a problem. So make sure to fill those out, because that makes the assignments better over time. Right. One thing I want to show you also, usually up in the menu up on the upper right here, there is a print view. If you go to that, then you can click print here. So that'll print out the whole assignment, and you can bring it to work with you or whatever. You don't have to be sitting at a computer the whole time to work through it. All right? So take advantage of that. I recommend you work together. Okay? So form a study group or something and work with each other. A lot of the numerical problems will be slightly different. Okay? So the numbers that you're given will be different from student to student. So you can't just copy somebody else's answers straight into your own assignment. But I do encourage that you work together, work with each other to complete these assignments. So I'll always give you at least 1 week to do these from the time I assign them. I actually already have 1, 2, and 3 up there now. And I typically do one class period after we finish that chapter in class. All right? So when we get through the syllabus, we'll talk about how much all this stuff is worth. But does anybody have questions about this? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it works great. I've got Max on the
No, that's not a problem at all. What I've actually found if you're using the new version of Internet Explorer is that sometimes it goes off to the right-hand side of the page and you can't actually scroll over. So if that happens, you just sort of make it into a window and then put it back and it'll rearrange itself. So if you ever run into a thing where you can't, you're thinking you can't see it off to the side, just change the size of your window and it'll update it. So that's a weird quirk that I've that somehow they haven't managed to fix in a year and a half. So, any other questions about mastering chemistry? It's a as far as online homework systems go, and I've used pretty much all of them. I think mastering chemistry is the best, pretty much the best one from a student's perspective because of all the extra hints and tutoring and guidance that it gives you. It also gives you feedback on incorrect responses. So if you made a common mistake to type in a response, it'll tell you, no, you forgot to multiply your mole ratio in there or something like that. So it can be really very helpful. All right. Other questions? No. So back to my sheet here. There's mastering chemistry. Oh, one very important thing. The final exam in here is a standardized final exam. So that means you're graded based on a percentile that's calculated based on other students like you from around the country. But a non-programmable calculator is required for that. I actually don't care what kind of calculator you use for our midterm exams. We'll have three midterm exams. You can use whatever calculator you want. But I do recommend that sometime pretty early on here you buy a non-programmable scientific calculator so that you're practicing up how to do these sort of things on that so there's no surprises on the final exam. Right? So just go to Walgreens or something like that, spend the $10. Oh, a programmable calculator is a big graphing calculator. That's basically, right? Non-programmable just has a string of numbers. Sometimes it'll be a string of numbers with a line of text above that. That's okay if it's a two-line, but not a graphing calculator. Not anything more advanced than a little $10 calculator. Okay? So make sure it is scientific, though. Make sure you can do scientific notation on it. Has a long button. All right, so rather than me drone on about our syllabus, we're going to do a little syllabus activity. So let's see here. I'm going to break this up into groups based on sort of what you're saying. So here's a group of three, I think. There's a group of three. There's a group here. Right. So group one, group two, group three. Right.
How many groups am I in?
Six? Yep, that's six groups. Okay, so each of the groups, and you can be in front of and behind, but just sort of cluster yourself a little bit. But read the appropriate section of the syllabus, discuss it with your group members, and after just a couple minutes, we'll have one representative from each group summarize that section for the class. So it's a real simple little activity that starts to get us talking with each other. So let's take a couple minutes. If you have questions, I'll be circulating. figuring out the important parts? Getting there? Give it just another minute or so. Get the important parts and figure out who's going to do the talking. So, what are we starting with? Required and optional materials. One is over there. I also told them to include the very top part of the syllabus, the part about the prerequisites. So, group one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, start with that. So, whoever's talking, introduce yourself to your name.
I'm Amanda. I love prerequisites. I'm
Thank you. completely distributed. So with different types of knowledge and techniques, people of varying initial levels can obtain mastery in any subject with an appropriate amount of effort. So something like chemistry is going to take effort. You're going to have to work on it. So that's what this last of the challenge you need to do yourself the favor of putting your full attention and your full effort into this and being able to live up to a lot more. But you can't expect to do well in a course like this, just thinking that you're smart or thinking that you're going to fly by or figure it out. You need to practice, you need to push the effort in.
What's next? Group four, homework quizzes, discussion boards. Who's group four? You guys?
Thank you.
study groups are very beneficial, so start out early with the study group. Find some people that you can work those problems at the end of the chapter with, maybe work on your master in chemistry with, stuff like that. But that is not a replacement of your own studying. So the exams are not group exams, so you're going to have to be responsible for all of this material. You don't get to offload that to your friend that knows how to do something else. So work with each other and play on each other's strengths to try to help to teach each other, right, so that you can master these concepts and skills. Every teacher like me has found that they've never understood the material better than when it is they had to teach it. So in a study group, when you're explaining something to one of your classmates, that cements that concept even better for yourself. So it's not just benefiting them, it's benefiting you almost even more. Okay? So keep at it. I said that it'll take significant effort, so block out a piece of time every day or every other day or whatever, but make a regular routine out of doing reading, doing practice problems, working on mastering chemistry. It's going to be very important for your success. Okay? Questions about that? Well, let's take a quick look at the calendar on the last page. I have our exam dates in bold there, so get those on your calendar right away. Those exam dates will not change. So make sure those are on your calendar. The left-hand column says which lab we're doing. So we sort of go in order, except at the beginning. So we're doing 3 today and 4 next week, and then 2 a couple weeks after that, was it Labor Day, Memorial Day, whichever one's in September. So, but we'll talk more about how to prepare for labs and how to do reports and stuff. This tells us approximately what chapter we'll be covering at the end of class. So we've got sort of a good guidance for the reading, so I would recommend that you get a chapter one of that for the ones that you want to do. Okay. Our final exams on December 16th in this room, and then we're going to hear from 1:30 to 3:30. So, it's 110 minutes, but it takes us 10 minutes at the start to get all the volumes on. So, if 1:30 to 3:30 is a problem for you, then talk to me about schedule. For instance, you have 2 other finals on that day, come talk to me, and we'll get set up.
So, that 110 minutes
is
like a time limit?
The final exam is very strictly timed. That's a pencil sound on the time limit. The other ones are 75 minutes, depending on what I see. But remember, you are responsible for the material in the syllabus, so I would go through that on your own. Stay where you are, actually. Bring your stuff up. We're going to stay in these groups for today. We've got a couple of other fun little things for us to do. So, in our groups, right, in our same groups that we're in, we're going to spend just a minute or so and talk about why it is that we're here, why we're doing this. This class for something, but hopefully you should realize that there is benefit to studying in chemistry. So this is what I want you to do. Just think for a moment and then share with your group, but think of something that's important to you, a hobby, career plan, something you did, something you're planning on doing, right, something like that. And pretty much anything you think of, you should be able to think of at least one way that chemistry is related to it, or chemistry is important to it. So just think about that for a second. Share with your group members, and then within your group, decide which is the most interesting one, and then we'll go around and elect a new representative, somebody that you want to talk to. can just do this quick. Let's have a representative from group one tell us. Absolutely. Okay. So rocket science is mostly chemistry, of, you know, determining what kind of high energy bonds need to be broken to supply that kind of energy for you know, for fuels especially, things like that. Plus the material science, the materials is, are very advanced for what kind of coatings there are and things like that. So let's just call that advanced sciences. Scientists are a tremendous value to this country. You know, that can really help advance this country's position in the world. So that's a good one for group one. Group two, you guys up there, what'd you come up with? There's a chemistry basis to it because biology is essentially just built on a basis of chemistry. Biology is just one form of applied chemistry that we can learn about. So let's just write biological sciences. Yeah, things like, and especially things like pH, contaminants, all that sort of stuff. All right, group three, what'd you get? Calcium carbonate a lot of times, the same stuff that limestone is made out of. So someone that's rock climbing will have to know, be able to identify different types of rocks because some are much stronger than others. You don't want to be drilling your thing into some sandstone or something like that that might not hold you where limestone or granite or something like that. So yeah, let's write that. Let's write rocks. Okay. So there's a lot of chemistry there, yeah. Obviously any kind of mechanical lab, any kind of mechanical shop or anything, there's going to be oils, there's going to be waste disposal, there's going to be solvents to clean stuff, there's going to be, you know, acids and bases and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, absolutely. So, I hope we'll, and, oh, and explosions too. We'll have some explosions. So, all right. Non-conductive and, you know, what solvents to use and stuff like that. But also the more conceptual side is going to be important for engineering. So you know, those physics ideas of current and voltage and things like that are ultimately come from the flow of electrons, which is a chemical process, essentially. And then the ideas about energy and the ideas about, you know, spontaneity of processes and things like that, the more physical type stuff that we'll be talking about is will apply to too. So let's just write engineering here. You know, engineering is using the practice of science to come to a certain desirable goal. Right? So in science, we're all about investigating. We'll talk about the nature of science here in a second. But you know, any engineer, whether it's mechanical or electrical or civil, has to be fluent in the language of science because that's the process they use in order to get to their specific goal or their specific outcome. Go ahead, up here. Ooh, yeah. That's right. I was watching the weather, and they're all, especially in the last couple of years, everybody's so interested in dew point. And dew point is not something that's been entirely as clear in the past. It still is sort of an abstract kind of concept. But dew point is a strictly chemical term that's related directly to the amount of water vapor that's in the air. So relative humidity, that percent, depends on what the temperature is. So 50% relative humidity at 60 degrees is much different than 50% at 80 degrees, whereas a dew point of 60 is uncomfortable no matter what the temperature is. Right? And a dew point of 30 is fantastic. So it's a more precise term that we'll actually talk about a little bit in our gas laws chapter. But still, the density of warm air versus cold air is what sets up this entire idea of warm fronts and cold fronts, and one going over another to cause storms and precipitation. Okay. So we get the idea that a lot of us, we all have varied backgrounds and plans, but the thing that'll all tie us together in here is that somehow the chemistry that we'll be learning about in here will affect us in some way. And that's a good tip for being able to deeply learn any concept. You need to make it personal to yourself. Okay? Chemistry isn't just something that you read about in a textbook and you do problems on and has nothing to do with anything else. Any kind of connection you can make with something that's important to you will further, you know, cement those ideas. So that's not just in here. That's anywhere. So make it personal. Make it that'll get your own investment up on it, so you'll be more likely to put in the effort that you need in order to get there too. Okay? So the last thing we'll talk about today is about science in general. Okay? So that's what we talked about, why chemistry is important. It's the study of substances and what the properties are and how they change and stuff like that. But science in general, adequately and efficiently in our society. So talk just for a few minutes, one more time, in your groups. And I want you to see if you can come up with something. It doesn't have to, there's no right answer here, just see what you come up with in the discussion in your group. But why is it important that people learn about science in general? Why people like me are fairly strongly convinced that everybody should have at least one science class. That's why the Minnesota Transfer curriculum has requirements for science classes, even if you're studying English or something like that. So
about something.
Thank you.
Thank you.
goes up, must come down, right? You toss something in the air, but that's describing a relationship. Or even if I drop something, it will fall down towards the earth. Okay? That's a relationship. I do this and that. Predictions. If I react things together, I can predict that that same mass will all be present after the reaction is finished. That's a relationship. That's something about what's happening to something over time or something like that. Okay? So, how's that different from theory? Theories are inferred explanations for natural phenomena and mechanisms for natural phenomena and mechanisms for relationships.
that we're doing.